The following podcast is brought to you by the Village Zendo. For more information, visit villagezendo.org.
Good morning, everyone. It's so good to see all of your faces. And it's so good to sit with you this morning. So to begin with, I wanted to just take a couple of minutes to do a short guided meditation as we're all sitting here now and facing the screen. So if you can lower your eyes, if you're comfortable doing so, sitting with a straight posture. Take a few deep breaths in and out. Feel your in-breath as it is drawn down into your body, into your hara. Notice the pause at the top of the breath. And then the release, exhale. Notice as your breath rises and releases through your nose into the air. Allow a natural rhythm. Wherever you are, whatever city, county, or country. So many different places that we all come from. Yet we all breathe the same air. Our breaths are mixing and mingling. Australia, New York, Brazil, Mexico, California, wherever a breath is being drawn, a ragged breath or a smooth breath. A breath in a hospital on a ventilator, in an apartment, in a house, outside on a city street, hiking through a forest. One breath. Whoever, wherever, old or young, Republican, Democrat, independent, apolitical, wherever, whatever, race, black, white, Asian, mixed, whatever gender or gender identification, whatever religion, open spiritual, atheist, or non, however you differentiate yourself, however you draw the lines of your identity. I am this way, you are that way. You are this way, I am that way. We are all human beings living human lives, shared humanity, one human family. We connect and affect each other in ways that are seen and unseen. Take a deep breath in. Exhale, release. We breathe the earth breathes us. We share in the life of our planet Earth, the life of the universe, the cosmos. We have forgotten who we are and a relationship to all things, to each other, to the earth, to the universe, to the sun, moon, stars, to a single dewdrop, to a blade of grass. We have forgotten what it means to breathe. We must remember our humanity, vitality, our interconnection, relationship to the 1,000 things. Thank you. So early this morning, after a sleepless night, the words came to me, live and let live. Surely, this was in response and inspired by Bokashu's powerful talk yesterday. And perhaps these words inform my talk today, as his words perhaps informed his talk yesterday. We are in crisis. The confluence of recent events, the pandemic, George Floyd's horrific death after hundreds of years of racism in America, countless deaths of Black persons at the hands of whites, oppression of Black people by white people, have brought us to both individual and collective crisis, different and the same. The writer and poet David White, who I think is really extraordinary, writes in his book, which is called Consolations, and I quote him, "Crisis is unavoidable. Every human life, and I add collective human life, seems to be drawn eventually, as if by some unspoken parallel, some tidal flow, or underground magnetic field, toward the raw, dynamic essentials of its existence, as if everything up to that point had been preparation for a meeting, for a confrontation in an elemental form with our essential flaw. And with what an individual could until then only receive stepped down, interpreted, or diluted. He continued, "Crisis can be described as the meeting of two immense storm fronts. The squally, vulnerable edge between what overwhelms human beings from the inside and what overpowers them from the outside." So this crisis calls us to look within ourselves, white privilege, and take responsibility for our actions. We are called to look at society and how it functions, how it has oppressed people of color. We are called to wake up and realize that we are a part of the great web of interconnection, all life, and that what affects one of us affects us all. How do we come to forget that our very humanity, we are called to change, or it is all over. So quoting again, David White, "Walking the pilgrim edge between the two, holding them together, is the hardest place to stay. To breathe of both and make a world of both, and to be active in their exchange. This is very hard to do what we're in now. To do what we do within ourselves and to be in conversation with the within and the without, these two storm fronts. The crisis provides opportunity. Questions. Will we make use of this crisis to atone for abuses to people of color and exploitation of our Mother Earth? Not to all of these abuses that are happening in the world. They're all the same, arise out of the same lack of connection. Will we American people bear witness and take actions to make the necessary changes so that all people can live in safety with the resources needed for fulfilling lives? So much hangs in the air. I think that remembering our relationship to everything that is what it means to wake up. When we're in relationship, we care, we respect, we love, we want to know each other, to listen to each other, to understand each other. We need to pay attention. And that is our practice, Zazen. It's not just about our own self-centered lives, assessing, judging, good for me, bad for me, which leads to good me, bad me, which I can assure you I have done plenty of. Many periods of Zazen have been spent listening to my righteous thoughts and insecurity. When I first started thinking about this talk, I was weeks ago, I was thinking about what it means to be in conversation. I was feeling conversation as the flow of life, everything informing everything else. So that could be our online meditation and the bird song and the frogs bellowing from the nearby pond. You and your boxes, wherever you are, my thoughts, my feelings, the news, the pandemic, the protests, the looting, the destruction, voices speaking truth, voices speaking lies, my family, friends, the VZ listserv postings, a flowing conversation, paying attention, mind wandering, noticing and not noticing, karma unfolding, reality, all there, conversation, in conversation. So what is the larger conversation that is coming forward that we need to hear or perish? That's a question that I'm going to let hang. So, and then move to recently, as I was doing a little bit of research on trying to pull up some commentary on a koan that I was working, I came across a talk by Shinryu Suzuki. And I know that most of you know about him and the important role that he played in bringing Zen and the Dharma to the US. So this talk was a talk he gave in 1971 at Zen Mountain Center. He said, and I quote, taking a lot of license of using his phrases and putting them together, Zen is actually, in short, maybe communication, communication, communication between your friend, communication between your teacher and disciple, communication between we human beings and our surrounding, communication between man and nature. This, in short, is Zen. To have perfect communication wherever you are, to have perfect communication and you and the outside world. He said, it's difficult to communicate. You should be very attentive. Zen students who study Zen are not students who are studying something, geology or math. You are studying who you are. Who is your teacher? What kind of relationship between us? And it is more like community, always trying to understand each other. Be attentive to your surrounding without having a preference or without being involved in your feeling. We are always trying to understand with each other. So how to help each other? First, you should understand your friend first. You should always say, how are you? So I grew up in Baltimore, Maryland. I was raised in the 50s and 60s. My family did not communicate well. Stoicism was in and emotions were out. Being an expert was valued and questions were discouraged. I came by my ignorance honestly. But who does that sound right, really, you know, to be an expert and to just want it his own way. Baltimore was segregated. I lived in a white-only homogeneous community in a bubble of white privilege. We belonged to a club of old families. It was not about money. All of the members were white, and all of those who worked there served the food, the bar, maintenance were Black. That was just the way it was. I didn't question the system. I was ignorant of how people who were different from me lived. Whites lived in the suburbs and Blacks lived in the city. And though I dressed as a hippie and participated in a few marches and wore a Black armband when I did, the 60s really bypassed me politically. I'm the only person in my family of six children to leave. I moved to New York. And it was really after a very serious illness, a crisis that happened in 2003 that brought me into Zen practice in 2005. And that really opened up for me through my chaplaincy training, through all of the multiple workshops at the Village Zendo, workshop that had to do with racism that I attended, bias and racism. Village Zendo offered a path workshop, which really was just incredible, where we heard from all the members in our Sangha, people who, through their very different personal experiences of race, gender, who felt that they were outsiders, other, really spoke and shared their experience of that. And so that was like the first, for me, it just, my opening up my eyes to the wider, how people live, to all the differences, and to my own white privilege. And when I did wake up to how much privilege I had had and enjoyed, I confessed this to Roshi, and her response was, use your privilege. And a couple of weeks ago, I had the same conversation with my daughter as she was crying, as she is waking up and opening up her eyes. So I see that I always write way more than I have time for. So I see that it is time to end. And I guess I would say, breathe this precious air and pay attention and be in conversation, an intimate conversation with what's inside and what's outside and what's coming forward. And I think if we do, then we have hope that we'll take the opportunity that's here now to change the world for the better. And I'm going to end with this. Prayer. May this crisis we are living through illuminate the communication, conversation, streaming, the needs, hopes, what is lacking for so many. May this crisis be a gateway, a first step home, a peeling away of layers of ages, mistrust. May this crisis bring us to greater unity, greater love, greater life, peace within and without, understanding, respecting, caring, honoring. What affects one affects all. Not united we stand, not divided we fall, but on our knees, together, bowing down, working for healing, justice, mercy. Thank you.